My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, on the River Islands guest line is the voice that you just heard. And from Fox, it's Adam Amin, who watched, I don't know, how many 49ers did you watch in this game? I saw Brock Purdy. Were any of the other people on that field 49ers, Adam?
I mean, some of the guys are on the field just working out and going through their motions, but no, man, it was a lot of twos, threes, and fours on that field yesterday for both teams. So we made the most of it. We had a good time. We got to see both starting quarterbacks. So that's all you can ask for in a crapshoot that is the preseason. We got a lot of entertainment out of it.
Well, and did that catch you by surprise? Like, candidly, for a lot of us, self included, it did. I'm not saying it was the wrong decision as much as I don't see other coaches in the NFL do what Kyle did, which is put your QB1 out there with a bunch of people who are not starters. Did that surprise you a little bit?
It doesn't surprise me. And really, as we get, you know, kind of the more evolved version of the preseason, and there's all these questions surrounding preseason games and should we have them or should we only do two or whatever it may be. Honestly, like, nothing really surprises me. I live in Chicago. I work the Bears locally for their preseason games. And, you know, I'm doing Kansas City, Chicago on Thursday night. We're probably not going to see any of the starters in preseason game three. We're in years past. The third game was the game where the starters might play, you know, a whole half or maybe even 2.5 quarters. Now, the evolution of this has changed so much in the last few years based off of money, who's out there, personnel issues, what you're trying to get out of your number twos if you do throw them out there with a starting quarterback. I imagine part of it is higher stakes. Like, you need to prove that you can go up against some number ones because that's who they were going up against, the Saints. You know, the initial narrative, I'm sure, is like, well, Brock Purdy really struggled. I don't think you guys necessarily feel that when you take into consideration, like you guys just did, that you've got the number ones on the defensive end from New Orleans going up against, you know, some twos and threes, mostly twos on the offensive line for San Francisco. So, like, you know, you try to take some of these things into consideration when you're thinking about it, but nothing really surprises me anymore because coaches are more close to the vest than they've ever been. They don't really want to give out any information, and they don't really want to show what they have more than a few plays out of their playbooks in the preseason. It's more vanilla than maybe it's ever been. So nothing really surprises me at this point. And we just try to keep that in mind in terms of personnel on the field when we're evaluating games in the preseason.
And as you're calling it, how difficult is it when you're going, you know, with your board, you get your board all set up in a normal game and you pretty much know who's going to play. But for this, you're going 2 and 3 and 4 deep at positions. Does it get into a little bit of a just more conversational with you and Mark as opposed to actually calling the action in the second half?
You know what? I think for the first time in a while, and I've called preseason games, again, locally only for the last 7 years, right, since 2018, and to take out the 2020 season, so whatever it is, 5, 6 seasons of doing it now. And this was my first national preseason broadcast. So usually I do the Bears. Here's the process. I'll pull the curtain back a little bit on the process. I'll prep every Bears player, all 90 Bears players, before week 1 of the preseason. And then as a local broadcast, we don't have to key in too much on the opposing team. I put down every single name. I write down the rookies, where they came from, what round they were drafted, or if they're undrafted, who were the team leaders last year. But honestly, I knocked out my Kansas City Chiefs prep in about 4 or 5 hours, which for a football game during the regular season, you know, this is 15 to 25 hours of work for both teams combined. Here, you're not really deep diving for the opposition. But the Bears, you know, leading up to that first game for the Bears, I'm doing a ton of prep. I'm doing a ton of research on the fourth and, you know, third and fourth and sometimes fifth guys on the depth chart at a certain position. And doing that for two teams in the matter of a week is a little bit more of a longer process. So it's easy to kind of say, well, we got to get into every guy's story, or, hey, let's only stick with the national perspective, one end of the poll or the other. I thought we actually had a good enough game and we had a good enough product on the field in terms of entertainment value and at least a close game to where we actually kind of called the plays more often than not. And yeah, maybe we'll go over a snap or two, but really we kept it focused on the game itself, dipped into some of the stories when we could, and did some of the big picture stuff that we really felt compelled to do, whether it's recaps of last season, the personnel changes this year, or maybe some of the division previews that we got to late in the fourth quarter. That's kind of the mindset. And a lot of it, as you guys know, week to week is game dependent. How's the game? Is there an entertainment value to it? Or are we just going to turn this into a podcast? And my preference is to keep calling the games, you know?
No doubt.
My preference is to keep calling the games, calling the plays, and weaving things in as the game dictates, just like we do in the regular season, because, again, these are good reps for our crew, our broadcast crew as well, to kind of go through these motions before the regular season.
Adam Amin of Fox, who called the 49ers Saints game yesterday, is with us here on Willard and Dibbs 95.7 The Game. So let me ask your real broad view then of what you saw with this football team, not so much player by player, but there is definitely, I would say, some concern from the fan base that you already have the quote-unquote Super Bowl loss hangover. And then you've had a wobbly camp with everyone yelling about Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams and some key injuries that forced the joint practice cancellation. So in your view, Adam, do the Niners have some real problems here, or does this go away in 3 weeks when there's an actual football game if they come out of it 1-0?
I think if Trent Williams is playing week 1, which the way we kind of heard people contextualize this over the weekend was that we think Trent Williams will be playing week 1. If Trent Williams is playing week 1 and they look at a Jet team on the other side at home and play well, I'm not too concerned. You know, the offensive line should be healthy, and I do believe Williams, again, nothing insider here, but like based on what we've been told and kind of the general feel, that thing will get eventually worked out and they'll be fine. The Ayuk thing has such a, you know, I think Julian Edelman talked about it a little bit during the minimal pregame show yesterday. You know, there's always this desire of more when you win a Super Bowl, but the Niners still haven't done it yet. And Edelman's point was, if Ayuk stays, wins a Super Bowl with the 49ers, which they absolutely obviously have a chance to do, they're still, you know, I still think they're the best team quality-wise in the NFC. They still obviously have a great shot to win the Super Bowl. If they do it, then that money is going to come. You know, the spoils of being a Super Bowl champion are very tangible. So, you know, the belief is that if all this stuff kind of takes care of itself, roster-wise, personnel-wise, and health-wise, and they go 1-0, I don't think there's going to be much of a concern. I think the preseason has a tendency to magnify our biggest insecurities about our fandom and has a tendency to also magnify our biggest hopes about our fandom. I think that's a fair assessment for any fan of any team in the NFL. I think it's very obvious in the preseason because it's the sport we're the most starved for. You know, the NBA shows up. I cover the Bulls in Chicago. NBA shows up. It's like, hey, fun. The NBA's starting up. Let's have some fun. Let's watch some games. And then, you know, we're looking forward to seeing if this team's going to be a playoff team. You show up, you know, the first preseason game, we're already talking about, hey, when, how's this team going to get to 11 wins? And when they get to the Super Bowl, not if, when, how are they going to do it? And who are they going to face? And what are they going to have to contend with? We're so hell-bent on breaking down the entire season of this sport because it's the most popular sport in America. I think that just, that has a lot more to do with fans' insecurities about their rosters than anything else does, including the play on the field or who's signed to a new deal or not.
You've got me fixated now on my insecurities about the 49ers, Adam, and I'm thinking about what I saw
yesterday.
As long
as they're 49ers insecurities and not like, you know, you're not reevaluating your whole life here, guys.
No,
like,
he's got that too, Adam. Yeah, don't worry about that.
I'm a little bit of an older guy, no. Adam. I mean, you were born my senior year of high school, and I just looked at your Wikipedia, and I realized how old I actually am. But these insecurities are football-based, and I'm thinking about the depth of this team, and Dre Greenlaw is going to be out at least half the year, and Hufanga hopefully comes back soon, and you had some of your older guys, Kittle and Debo, didn't even play. Do you look at this team from a depth standpoint and think, man, they better not have injuries because what you saw from the twos, was it good enough?
You know, I think outside of the ones, and again, I know a lot of teams have these concerns as well, the top of the line, you know, the top line of the our boards, you know, of our depth charts, I have no concerns with at all. I'm not worried about them at all. I think there is talent there, but it's hard to decipher whether or not the depth is there because we haven't seen it. Like, we haven't seen Ricky Pearsall play, right? We didn't really know what Jacob Cowing had to offer until he had some flashes last night. On the defensive end, you know, I liked how Curtis Robinson played. If something happens to Fred Warner, it's hard to recreate anything Fred Warner does because of his intelligence, his diagnosis of plays, and how quickly he gets to the football. So, of course, if there's any injury to the top line, it's going to be a massive, massive problem. But I think the signing of Campbell, the growth of Winters, when Greenlaw gets back, Flanagan Fowles knows the system in the linebacking core. I like a lot of the guys that they brought in. I think Isaac Yadam's a really good pickup to bring you some depth at cornerback, a position that it seems like every single year has a pretty decent injury that affects him. I know Jason Verrett's been a name that every year it feels like, God, we'd love to have that guy in there if he could just stay healthy. You know, Ambry Thomas is dealing with it, but he'll eventually come back from the hand. Rock Ya-Sin's a good pickup, I think, for them. I like Chase Lucas and what he could do as a special teamer and maybe have to play in a tight situation with some injuries. You know, Lenore's good. Renardo Green's a good pickup. I think they've done a good job in the scouting department and drafting department to at least bring in some depth in that back end, right, between the linebacking core and the secondary. And we know what they did up front. Their front is still really strong outside of the number one guys. Like, Kevin Givens is really reliable. Nick Williams, if he ends up making the roster, has played a lot of football. Robert Beal's a nice draft pick last year that can make an impact maybe a little bit in a pinch. So I think you know, Gross Matos, can't forget about him. I think they have enough depth up front on defense. I think they've done a good job scouting on the back end and in the linebacking core. I do have some concerns about what they have offensively behind McCaffrey and Elliott Mason, but you got three backs that you can rely on as long as they're healthy. We'll see what Pearsall and Cowing can bring. The tight end position worries me. You know, Charlie Werner, I think, is a sneaky, tough loss for them behind Kittle, and I think that's why you bring in a player like Eric Sauber just to take some of the load off, the kind of, you know, crash card, you know, collisions we see from George Kittle during the season. Like, maybe you can take some of that workload off of them. But I think they're going to be fine depth-wise. I really do. If I sit here and evaluate it from a 30,000-foot perspective and even dive into some of the minutia, I think they're going to be okay depth-wise.
Adam Amin, Fox, on the call for the 49ers-Saints game yesterday with us here on 95.7 The Game. Adam, based on what you saw, how would you handicap the 49ers' backup quarterback race?
I've really liked Joshua Dobbs, you know, for a while. If you've heard him speak, he wins you over in a moment. Like, he's just a really kind-hearted, intelligent guy. And the fact that he got bussed around for multiple spots last year, had to step in and just keep the train on the tracks. He did it for a few games with Minnesota. We called his first start with the Vikings last year, and he was excellent. He had a two- or three-game run where you know, he was able to fill in the gaps really, really well. I was impressed with what I saw from Brandon Allen, especially the way he kind of kept going back to guys. You know, the Mark pointed it out when he kept throwing to Ronnie Bell, even though Ronnie had been struggling a little bit yesterday, kept going back to him. And that's a veteran quarterback trying to instill confidence in guys that need it in that moment. So I like both those guys. I've been a Dobbs fan since, you know, we got a chance to see him go up and try to get Tennessee to the playoffs a couple of years ago. I think in a 2 or 3 game scenario, if you needed Josh Dobbs, I think he'd do a really good job for you. But what backup quarterbacks have in common, they get exposed faster than quality starting quarterbacks. Brock Purdy has proven himself to be a high-quality starting quarterback in this league, and Josh Dobbs and Brandon Allen have often been exposed after 1, 2, or 3 games when opponents start to get an idea of how to game plan for them, how to take away the things that they really like. Usually those things are a little bit less nuanced and less complex than what the starting quarterbacks can do and what they can adjust. So, but in a 2 or 3 game pinch, if you need Josh Dobbs, I think he's proven himself as a capable backup quarterback in this league.
Adam, before you go, because of your Bears ties, what do you think is the most likely scenario to play out at the end of the year about Caleb Williams? Choice C is, doesn't look like the guy. Choice B is, man, fantasy football was really good to him, and it's a really nice building block for going forward. Choice A is, oh my God, there's the next Mahomes.
It's somewhere between A and B, probably closer to B. And I still feel like this is a team that should, based on talent alone, win 9 games or at least win 8 and get closer to 9 or 10, because they were 7-10 last year. They absolutely blew 3 games. Denver, Cleveland, and there was one other, Detroit, where they had a 12-point lead with 4.5 minutes left and lost the game. So if you flip those games, they're a 10-win team. You take 2 of those games, they're a 9-win team. But they won 7. They have a better quarterback, in my estimation, overall. They have much better offensive talent and better offensive line depth. And I don't think they got worse on defense. So I feel like by those metrics alone, by that baseline thinking, common sense thinking, I think they're close to a 9 or 10-win team just off of what you see on paper. I don't know if Green Bay is going to be as good as advertised. On defense especially, I have some concerns for them. Minnesota has some problems. Sam Darnold, we kind of had that backup quarterback discussion, although I thought he did a nice job in Week 18 last year. That's why he earned himself a job in Minnesota. They're going to have some struggles, though, with their lack of talent on defense, too. And Detroit lost some veterans on defense, which concerns me a little bit. I think their offense will be great, but they lost some veterans. So I think the NFC North could actually be one of the more entertaining divisions. I think all 4 teams, honestly, could finish between 7 and 10 wins or 7 and 11 wins, kind of like what we saw in the AFC North last year.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting call. Hey, Adam, really fun to have you on, man. Thank you so much for doing it.
You got it, boys. We'll talk to you in week 2 and 3 for Niners, Cardinals, and Niners, Rams, right?
Oh, nice.
We're looking forward to it.
We will definitely ring you up. Thanks, Adam.
You got it, boys.
All right, there he goes. Adam Amin, Fox Sports, on the call yesterday, and he likes Joshua Dobbs.
Yes.
I know Josh won some fans back with his performance yesterday. That's still the stuff that we do with preseason football. I don't really know what to make of the 49ers' backup quarterback situation. We know that some had been excited early on about Tanner Mordecai. I don't know that I see a whole lot there. Brandon Allen's been hanging around in the system now for a couple of years. Dobbs is a name that we got to know really well. But I wonder, like, if he plays well in a preseason game, does that mean he's the backup? Or does that mean that with QB injuries around, like I've heard some people bring up, hey, call Minnesota.
I was just thinking that, actually. Like he was trade him Brandon Allen.
Or Josh Dobbs.
You keep Dobbs. Well, to me, Dobbs is your backup.
Maybe.
But I think it's pretty clear again, that for me, it's Dobbs is your backup.
Allen has been around for a couple of years. Minnesota had Dobbs last year. They just lost McCarthy for the year. You know, what kind of draft capital could you get in return? Here's why I'm saying that. If Brock Purdy were to go down, your season's done.
Well, I was actually looking at this earlier today, and I went through the 14 teams that made the playoffs last year.
Okay.
And I was thinking to myself, you know, we can all talk about all the different things with a season. it really comes down to, is your quarterback healthy? And I'll just run through. Miami had Tua. He played 17. Detroit, 17. Dallas, he played 17. Buffalo, 17. Purdy played 16, but he could have played 17,
right,
but they chose not to. Mahomes played 16. Jordan Love played 17. C.J. Stroud played 15. Maker Mayfield played 17. You're seeing the pattern here.
How many did Lamar play?
Lamar played 16.
And Josh Allen?
Josh Allen played 17.
Okay, and then I'm thinking
the only one is Pittsburgh.
Yep.
But Pittsburgh was kind of funky. You had Pickett play 12.
Well, they didn't want anybody to play 17.
And the other one is Cleveland. And you had
With Flacco.
You had your boy Flacco come to the rescue. But C.J. Stroud played 15. The point is, if you have a good quarterback and that quarterback stays healthy, you're probably going to be a playoff team. And 7 of the 16 make it now. So if you have a good quarterback who misses more than 3 or 4 games, you're in real trouble. But I liked what Adam said about Joshua Dobbs. If he comes in for 2 to 3 or 4 games, I think that he has a better chance of winning you those games than Brendan Allen does.
Maybe, and certainly that can be a difference between whether or not you make the playoffs. I totally get that. I just tend to think that in general, the backup quarterback is something that people spend a lot of time thinking about. And I'm not going to call it irrelevant. It's not, because again, the point is do you have someone that could come in, and if you need him for 3 games, he can win 2. You know, can he just kind of keep it together? If he's got to come in and take over the season, though, it's a no. It's a no. And there are very rare circumstances where that can work out. And even I would argue, what does quote workout mean? Like Flacco, yeah, he came in, he got you to the playoffs, and then they epically fell apart in round one of the playoffs. The Niners a couple of years ago are another great example where they had a weird thing going on where they lost one QB, went to another one, then lost him, and then found their guy.
Yeah.
That's very, very rare.
Extremely rare.
It's very rare. And the 49ers, I think, have arrived at the same spot that many of the other solid teams in the NFL have arrived, which is you got your QB, and if he goes down, you're in trouble.
You're in trouble.
You're in trouble.
And if he goes down for a long period of time, then you know you'd love to have a veteran like Flacco who came in and won 4 or 5 and got you to the playoffs. And like you said, then you went out there and you laid an egg and you got beat up by Houston and that was it. But I think if you're looking at which quarterback of your two backups right now can come in and make a play or make an impact, I think Dobbs over Allen. And Minnesota's backup right now is former 49er, Nick Mullins.
Nick Mullins.
Yeah, Mick Nullins.
Behind former 49er Sam Darnold.
Exactly. So,
and then they could squeeze in former 49er Josh Dobbs in there if they wanted.
Or Brandon Allen.
Yeah,
if I'm Shanahan and I'm deciding between the two, whichever one loses, I'm trying to trade him to Minnesota.
Probably.
I'm keeping Tanner Mordecai as QB3.
Here's the way I would look at it. You want a QB on the roster who, if you need him for a couple games, can keep things together. If you need someone for 10 games and the remainder of the year, I'm calling Tom. Forget all. No, seriously.
Brady?
Yes.
Get him out of the booth?
He just said a couple of days ago,
yeah,
I
it's
can't.
It's because he's desperate for attention.
Maybe. Or maybe he will come play.
I think he's an addict. He's addicted to attention, and he's addicted to being a QB1.
I mean, aren't they all? I mean, sure.
He's 46.
Like, I mean, so what?
Like T.O. Yes, T.O. is addicted to still being a wide receiver in the NFL.
If Brock Purdy went down halfway through the year, and it was like...
Or last night, with all of you saying that it was an impending thing.
It's not impending.
It certainly could have happened.
Certainly, of course it could. Yeah, I would call Tom. I would call Tom. Over Josh Dobbs? For sure. Of course I would call
Dust
Tom.
Dust off the cobwebs on a 46-year-old Brady.
Yep. I don't think the cobwebs are even there yet. Let's real quick go to Anthony in Concord. Hey, Anthony, what's up? You're on with Willard and Dibs.
Hey there, guys. I just think it's funny. On one hand, you know, Dibs is saying, oh, look at all these teams. I was thinking about this just the other night. Look at all these teams going to the playoffs. All they have to do is they have a healthy quarterback. And then he's arguing that Brock Purdy should be playing in this game yesterday. Like, it makes no sense, Dibs.
It makes perfect sense, because you want to have a guy get sharp and be ready for week 1, as opposed to let's bubble wrap him and give him a couple of weeks then to get ready for actual football and start out 0-2.
I mean, I get Anthony. Anthony, thank you. I get his point. Again, it's not that what you're saying doesn't make sense. It's sort of like your favorite word. math. It's just math. This is a numbers, a percentage, an analytics sort of a number of probability and risk reward. And even the phrases you've used, get a little sweat on.
Oh, yeah.
Get your timing down. Is all of that worth taking hits with no real teammates in front of you? And again, I'd argue no. You'd argue yes. I don't know why you laugh.
No real teammates?
Adam Amin called the game. He just came on, and he's like, yeah, dude, that was weird. There's like threes and fours everywhere. That's weird. That's all. It's weird. We're sponsored by Lucky California. 888-957-9570 is the number. The moment over the weekend that made my head fly off of its body. Oh, and we need to, we've all slept on this. We need to say something to Dibs. We'll do that next here on 95.7 The Game.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
To
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Adam Amin was good, and he said something that we want to talk about, and we'll do that in just a second. But this is long overdue. There was a reason that you were out last week.
Oh, yeah.
There was a reason.
Suspended.
It's kind of like Kyle Shanahan playing Brock Purdy last night. There was a reason.
Yeah, a lot of reasons.
Happy birthday, dude. How
was it? Thank you, brother. Yeah. It was spectacular.
What did you turn again?
56, Mark.
Are you... I never
when
know...
When you say it out loud, well, it sounds like Yeah, seriously.
It sounds like when you're a young man.
But when you say it and you actually hear it and then you think about it and you realize that that's how old you are.
That you're closer to 60 than 50.
My brother actually said that. My brother Mikey 2.0, that was part of his birthday message.
I don't love the young people.
Thank you to everyone for the texts and the Facebooking and all the rest of it. My brother did call, old guy, and I leave you a voicemail message. You have one new voicemail.
He should have sent you a letter. That would have been amazing.
He actually did try to time it. You're now closer to 60 than you are 50. Join the club. And I was like, oh, God, don't ever say that again.
We have a mutual friend. I will not mention his name because he asked me not to. Okay. But he is going to be turning 60 within the next couple of weeks here.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not happy about it.
Yeah. It's not.
It's not pleased.
Whatever. It was a wonderful stretch. Had the preschool drop-off, which if you ever want to see the saddest thing you've ever seen in your life, take a two-year-old on the first day of preschool. There was a line of kids at the gate clutching and grabbing at the wooden slats.
Yeah.
The crying and the tears. And then you go out in the parking lot and every car is filled with weeping and sobbing mothers and fathers.
Everybody's crying. But let me make a prediction. And I really hope that this was the truth. The kids are crying everywhere. And the parents are trying to get through it. And then they do. But then they go to the car and they have a moment to themselves to get over the emotions. But 56-year-old you on your third kid was swaggering through the parking lot laughing at everyone. Tell me that's how it went, please.
I was trying not to laugh at people, but I did turn to my right and I saw this particular Karen with like a wadded up piece of tissue paper and she's just blowing her nose and the amount of tears, and I'm looking at her and I'm going, you live in a $2 million house. You're going to get over this in a hurry.
Dibs
you're going to be okay.
Dibs is cruising through the parking lot with a Truly in the left hand and high fives in the right. He's like,
my fault.
That's pretty sweet.
She gone.
Yeah. And then the wife went to work and I went home and I was like, oh yeah.
Oh gosh.
And I went up.
Bye bye.
Big old empty house.
On Friday at the Contra Costa Country Club with the Friday group.
Good for you.
Want to shout out the Friday men's group. I was a plus one and won a skin and won the post-round poker, so
good
pocket full of money, kid in daycare, bouncing my step. And then I turned on the radio for the crossover, and I heard my friend, quote-unquote, it was on Thursday, and somebody said something about, oh, yeah, it feels like a Friday. And Stoney goes, yeah, it feels like a Friday because Dibley's not here. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I thought, all right, I'm going to file that one away, Steinmetz.
It is funny.
Steinmetz. Anyway, thank you. Wonderful birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy to be back, though. Lots to talk about.
Happy birthday. Plenty to talk about.
Are you ready to get into Buntgate, or do you want to save that for the top of the hour?
I know I teased it, and we can talk about it at 4 o'clock.
Jesus.
The Giants found a way to win a game yesterday, and this is not new. This is a lot of their wins. They found a way to win a game where I'm like, great, you won. Now I want to punch you in the face. All of you, sit down. Don't move. I want to punch all of you in the face.
Man.
And congrats on your win. And we'll see you tomorrow. And if you don't sweep the White Sox, all right, we'll hold it.
Okay.
Okay.
White Sox are playing some good ball.
No, they're not. Anyway.
30-95. That doesn't seem like it's a good record.
I was at the dog park with the lovely Christy earlier, and I was like, yeah. But now, and the schedule's about to get tough, but not yet. Because all of this is their 500, and here comes, and I go, you know, like people that are cynical about the Giants, and she's one of them. You're like, well, one of the worst teams in baseball is coming in. She'll be like, Giants find a way to mess that up. And I'm like, you might be right, but this isn't just the worst team in baseball. It might be the worst team of our lives. It really might be. They might be the worst team of our lifetime.
In the modern era, and I know we're going to say this till the top of the hour, but they are second worst all time in the modern era with a .240 winning percentage.
It's really
only the Athletics, the Philadelphia Athletics in 1916 with a winning percentage of .235. That's the only team that's been worse winning percentage wise. They're at .240.
This is really fun.
.240.
The Tigers are in fourth place in the American League Central. The White Sox are in fifth. Okay? The Tigers have a -3 run differential. Young team, couple of tough breaks. Javi Baez is swinging at Casey Schmidt balls that are 8 feet outside, whatever. -3 run differential. The White Sox are -258 runs.
Wow.
This year.
That sounds bad.
258 runs. The Giants, who have made many of you get gray hair, are -12.
Yeah.
The White Sox are -258.
Worst all time is -349. So
I think they can do it.
They got a chance. They're running out of time, but the Boston Red Sox in 1932 were a -349.
You can't have 30 wins right now. That's insane.
Insane.
Yeah. 30 wins. Anyway.
Anyhow.
We'll get there. 888-957-9570. Listen to this and then give us a call with regard to what is your current 49ers insecurity. What is, and we're going to tell you why we're asking that. What is your current 49ers insecurity? Adam Amin of Fox, who called the game yesterday and was with us a short time ago, said this.
I think the preseason has a tendency to magnify our biggest insecurities about our fandom and has a tendency to also magnify our biggest hopes about our fandom. I think that's a fair assessment for any fan of any team in the NFL. I think it's very obvious in the preseason because it's the sport we're the most starved for.
Okay, I love that he said it. And I said last week, I'm like, August football stinks. And because what I tend to hear is just a lot of anxiety, like unfounded anxiety. I'm not saying that anybody's wrong. I'll admit it. The Niners camp has stunk. Can we say that? I think we can get away with that.
Yeah.
It's been a bad camp. However, what does that mean for the actual season? The only way I can answer that right now is to say it might lead to some problems, and it might not. You sent a text this morning that caught my attention because I'm glad we got here. Thank you, Adam, because I wanted to ask you about this. You said, this year is off to an uneven start. And then you cited Trent and Ayuk and McCaffrey's injury, Dre Greenlaw, and Hufanga.
Thank you.
This year is off to an uneven start. And I responded by saying, this year's not even off to a start at all. And I know that there's a little semantics in there.
Sure.
I get where you're coming from, but I'd argue that everything you just listed very might, possibly even probably, is going to be totally fine 3 weeks from tonight.
Good. We know that Debo, when he held out, came out and had a down year. We know that Bosa, when he held out, came back and he had a little bit of a down year. Not as bad as many people want to cite, but he certainly started slowly. And he was the first one to say that, you know, it took him a couple of weeks to get rolling. And you've got Trent Williams, an older guy who hasn't practiced, and Ayuk, a younger guy who hasn't practiced, and everybody wants, you know, the quarterback to be in sync with his guys, and he can't because Ayuk's not here. Hufanga's coming off a major injury to the ACL, and he got cleared now, not to practice, but to do more football-related activity, and he might be a week three guy to return. Greenlaw likely out until Thanksgiving. I just look at a number of things with the injuries, and, you know, the Christian McCaffrey one, you seem to think is no big deal. He hurt his calf, or he had a calf issue, and so they immediately said, you're shut down.
Yeah.
2 weeks, you're not playing. So all these things to me have led to a camp where it hasn't felt like you're building momentum. It feels like you're just kind of surviving through minor adversity. Nothing major yet. You have had some injuries. You have a lot of injuries, so many that you couldn't do joint practices. And I just feel like you're not heading into the start of the season with a lot of momentum.
It's been an annoying camp.
Yeah, uneven was the word I think I used, right? Yeah. Is that right?
Well, you're right. And then you said an uneven start. And it's been annoying. Brandon Ayuk has dominated camp, and that's not fun. He's not even participating. Trent Williams is a mystery. People don't like that. We've learned that over and over again. When people are supposed to be at work and they're not at work, damn it, fans want a reason. Andrew Wiggins, what is it? What is it? Well, you don't get to know. I don't know what it is. I do know that those on the inside don't seem to be expressing a whole lot of concern. Is that genuine? I don't know. But I am very, very confident that Trent Williams will be in a uniform 3 weeks from tonight. And I like that's the other thing that I sort of started thinking about the other day. Okay, 3 weeks from tonight. Think about in the NFL world how long that is. 3 weeks last year covered the entire span of what the Niners would call their down period last year. It covered the entire span. They went to Cleveland and missed a field goal, went to Minnesota and Cousins carved them up, and then they came home to Cincinnati, Burrow carved them up. Then they went into a bye week and got healthy and got their mind right and came out and started another win streak. 3 weeks in the NFL is a long time. And this is to Adam Amin's point. We're very excited. I'm very, very excited.
Yeah.
I got eight senior 17-year-old dudes coming over to the house in 3.5 hours to eat pizza and draft their fantasy rosters. And I know that my two boys, the two that I claim, are at home playing like NFL Films music out of the smart speaker at my house right now, getting ready. They're out of their minds. Everyone's excited. The other side to this is, in the NFL cadence, the first game is still a ways away.
Yeah.
21 days for Trent and Brandon to get signed and Christian to get his uniform and whatever. I mean, Dre's not playing week one anyway.
Sure. So that was Hufanga probably not either. But
yeah, like I'm not sitting here telling you everything's fine. I'm telling you that there's every possibility still that everything's totally fine.
Of course. And I think that what you're saying is rational and reasonable, but the way I look at it, I'm looking at it through a lens, and I'm not going to use the phrase, I'm going to save it for as we get closer to the season. It's a phrase you hate, but the idea of what this team is expecting to be, what they expect themselves to be, what fans expect them to be, is really, really, really good.
Yeah.
And as it sits right now, your Hall of Fame left tackle, who knows where he is. Ayuk is watching the game in a suite with an alleged back injury. He's holding in. He might be hurt. He's probably not. We don't know what he is. McCaffrey's got a calf. And all of the other issues that are going on with this team, it doesn't feel like this team is building momentum, gathering timber, heading into the opener in 3 weeks. And all of us are expecting not 17-0 in the regular year, not even 16-1. I think the expectation among fans is you win the division and maybe you even get another first round bye. And if you're healthy in January, well, we've got action.
Yeah.
And so the way it's gone in this camp has not felt to me like a team that is conducting itself like a Super Bowl champion contender.
If I was going to answer our own question, what is your current 49ers anxiety? What is that thing that has you kind of triggered or stressed? We're sort of talking right now about what mine is. Mine is more conceptual. It's not Christian's calf or Brandon's contract. It's the fact that there's nowhere to go but down.
Right. Expectations are bananas.
Out of control. And it's going to be really hard, I think, for the 49er fan base to stay in the moment this offseason. When you have a team that is supposed to be there in the end, it becomes very, very difficult to accept the mundane and go week to week and accept the disappointing. Like, they're going to lose football games this year, and they're favored to win them all. Right now
they are
favored to win them all. They will be upset at least once, twice, probably five times.
I got them at 12-5.
Okay,
Mark.
Probably five times.
We played
times.
The schedule game, and I had them at 12-5.
You did?
I have that in my locker. I'll bring it out here in the next week or so. We can go through it again.
Do they have any schedule
losses?
See how
it's changed. Oh, yeah.
Is it a schedule loss?
Absolutely.
Who's a schedule loss? Is it Kansas City?
Just looking at the schedule right now, and now because they have 10 days off before the Chiefs game, I'll get back to you on that, but I think it might be the Cowboys. No, that game's at home.
Don't you dare say that.
They do have one, though.
Don't say that.
It's a short week, But anyway, keep going.
No, do you have any 49er insecurities right now?
They have the most. They have the biggest rest deficiency. They have less rest than any other team in football.
Sure, so. And those are like some of the deep facts that could be a thing when we get to the end of the year and look back. But what kind of insecurities have been sort of ruffled up here? 888-957-9570. Mine is that I don't know if we're satisfiable this year.
Yeah.
And so the journey that they're about to take is by definition going to be frustrating at times. And I think that it's very, very difficult to live up to those kinds of expectations. And I don't mean that in terms of like, so the 49ers got to pass if they don't win. No. That's not, I'm talking about us, not them. I'm talking about us. In a way, my insecurity is this is, and by the way, this is how I felt about Team USA basketball in the Olympics. Sports is less fun if when you go into it, you're like, well, you better win everything or you're an embarrassment. That's just not fun to me. That's why I could still get starry-eyed when Kevin Durant's Warriors won rings. I'm like, great job. A lot of people were like, of course. Would have been embarrassing for them to not win. Or legs would need to start popping and flying off bodies like Kevin's and Clay's did when they didn't win. I just don't like to look at it that way because there's too many things that can happen.
Of course.
It still is. I wonder if people, like, do you buy that? Here's what I'm getting at. If the Niners win the Super Bowl this year, that is still an incredible achievement.
Right. You should have more joy than you will have relief.
Do you buy what I just said?
Definitely.
Okay, but dude, does everybody?
They should. And you had me thinking about what I just said about my prediction for their record. And if I just said that to fans, you know, if I gave you 12-5 right now for the Niners, how would that make you feel?
Oh, I'd be so excited.
But I think a lot of fans would be like, man.
Why'd you lose five times?
Right. Which five teams are going to beat you?
I'll give you one.
Right. Honestly, though, if I said, hey, Niners, 12-5. Hey, Niner fan, right now, I'm giving you 12-5. Now, you don't know if that's going to be good enough to win the division. I do know that historically, a 12-5 team, or used to be 12-4. If you went 12-4, I don't think that 12-4 team has ever missed the playoffs. I know an 11-5 team has missed the playoffs, but I don't think 12 wins has ever kept you out. So if I gave you 12-5 right now, you're in the playoffs for sure. You're probably the division winner. You may even be the number one overall seed. Would you take it? And I bet a lot of Niner fans would say, no, they should be better than that. And that's 12-5.
12-5 last year.
12-5 was a good year.
Not only was it the one seed last year, they didn't have to play the last week. They got to chill. They got to, I mean, they were on an inner tube, cruising around the water, waiting for the playoffs to start for 2 weeks. So yes, 12-5 is wonderful, especially with some of the factoids you just brought up in terms of their travel and their rest. You know, one thing that people forget about the end of the year last year, where the Niners really did, even though they weren't always looking perfect, they rolled through and won a bunch of football games. Remember, once they got out of the bye and Jacksonville, and then maybe it was a week or two later, they like never left the time zone again. Their games were all either at home or in Vegas or...
Home at Seattle. They went to Philly.
Right.
Week 13.
And then what happened?
Arizona. Home. They did go to Washington. And then they were home. So they had two trips remaining.
I thought Washington was here.
It says here at Washington.
Isn't that this year? Isn't it? Am I going crazy?
They were at Washington last year. I think you're thinking of 2 years ago.
Am I thinking of 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, like they're that.
But after Baltimore, it was you beat Washington, and then it was Ottoman City.
Huh. Oh yeah, I remember that game now. That's when they did the Ayuk throwback across. Okay, I remember now. Anyway, point
Adam
being,
Adam Amin on the call.
Yeah, of course.
and he also called the Ram game the next week.
The travel and the rest factor this year are worse.
Yeah.
In statistically, you know,
no doubt.
And so those are things. Those are things. Jonathan in the city. Hi, Jonathan. What's up? What are you doing?
Hey, just going to pick up my son from school. Football security, you got a big one, man, because you know why? our guys lost the Super Bowl. And, you know, if I'm trying to forecast the season and I don't have a clear view of what I'm seeing, it's pretty murky. I look at history and I remember a lot of times, man, when the Super Bowl just lost, I mean, when a team lost the Super Bowl, the following year is not that good. So I'm going to be optimistic but very cautious. It's not to say I'm not going to be excited. Of course, I'm excited. I'm going to be watching, you know, every second of the 49er football because I'm just a diehard like that. But I'm going to be very cautious. So I want to see the offense kind of change it up a little bit. I mean, the offense is good. It's great. But you want to be – you want to take advantage of, you know, the passing rules, right? I know Kyle Shanahan runs run heavy, or he's a running it's a running type of offense. But man, I think it's time to tweak it out a little bit, man. Take advantage of you know, some of the throws downfield, because if they don't, man, I might see the same thing that happened to Jimmy. You know, you don't make adjustments, and all these D coordinators are watching 2 years of your film and is always down the middle, you know, in the numbers. They're going to crowd that middle of the field, and the only adjustment you can make out of that, if they crowd the middle, you got to take advantage of throws down the field.
Jonathan, can I be real with you for a second? You don't sound excited at all. You said you're going to be excited. You sound like your voice, your inflection, you sound like the 49ers are defeated already.
Yeah, because not a good start, man. You know, initial impression to me is very important. All this contract talks, and our guys are already injured. McCaffrey's nursing a calf injury already, and they're coming off a Super Bowl loss. Like I said, man, look at all the teams that lost the Super Bowl. The following year ain't that great.
Yeah, but that's then. That's then, and that's them. Like, I hear you, Jonathan, but they're 0-0. They're not off to a bad start. The season hasn't started yet. Man, see, people are going to have a hard time getting last year out of their head. It's going to be a real challenge. And I get it. I totally get it. That's going to be a real challenge. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. If I have ever seen a professional sports team lack confidence in itself at a higher level than one specific at-bat that I watched this weekend with the Giants, it escapes me. Wow, what a confidence problem they've got. And we'll get into that coming up next on Willard and Dibs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!